The Holy Gospel today is taken from the third chapter of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of the law, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. The journey to John 3:16's reading, or the reading for today, which includes John 3:16, which is a famous verse, started last week for me when I was in a Safeway parking lot, and I had my list of things to get that my bride conveniently gave me, because if it's more than two things, I can't remember, and it was six things. And I get in the parking lot, and I was listening to NPR, which I sometimes do. It's Saturday. It's 2 o'clock. And they show Radiolab. If you've ever heard of Radiolab or ever heard that show on NPR, raise your hand. So several of you, some of you. Well, I think it's a very engaging show. It's very, they have a lot of very interesting thinkers. And this show was called Afterlife. So, what happens when you die? And so, they started it off with a scientist back in 1906 who weighed people when they were dying. And that there was an instant where they were 0.0002 less than when they were alive. And the theory was that their soul left their body and it weighed something. So that was an interesting start to the show. So I was intrigued. And I'm sitting in the parking lot. I'm not shopping. I'm just sitting in the parking lot. And Beth probably always wonders why it takes me a while to do shopping, because sometimes I get caught up in a radio show. And it was 11 segments on the afterlife. And so the next thing was a reading from this book by David Eagleman, and it's called Sum, S-U-M, and I checked it out from our library. 40 Tales for the Afterlives. And so works as a neuroscientist at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. So he's not, he's somebody who knows something about some things. He's pretty smart. And, he said he wrote this book, but he didn't really want to tell his colleagues about it because it's very philosophical. It makes you think. And so this, I'm going to read it to you, this little section. It's called Metamorphosis. And this is what he says or writes. "There are three deaths. The first is when the body ceases to function. The second is when the body is consigned to the grave. The third is that moment, sometime in the future, when your name is spoken for the last time. So you wait in this lobby until the third death. There are long tables with coffee, tea, and cookies. You can help yourself. There are people here from all over the world, and with a little effort, you can strike up convivial small talk. Just be aware that your conversation may be interrupted at any moment by the callers. who broadcast your new friend's name to indicate that there will never again be another remembrance of him by anyone on the earth. Your friend slumps, face like a shattered and re-glued plate, saddened even though the callers tell him kindly that he's off to a better place. No one knows where that better place is or what it offers, because no one exiting through that door has returned to tell us. Tragically, many people leave just as their loved ones arrived, since the loved ones were the only ones doing the remembering. We all wag our heads at that typical timing. The whole place looks like an infinite airport waiting area. There are many famous people from the history books here. If you get bored, you can strike out in any given direction, past aisles and aisles of seats. After many days of walking, you'll start to notice that people look different. And you'll hear the tones of foreign languages. People congregate among their own kind, and one sees the spontaneous emergence of territories that mirror the pattern on the surface of the planet. With the exception of the oceans, you're traversing a map of the Earth. There are no time zones here. No one sleeps, even though they mostly wish they could. The place is evenly lit by fluorescent lights. Not everyone is sad when the callers enter the room and shout out the next list of names. On the contrary, some people beg and plead, prostrating themselves at the caller's feet. These are generally the folks who have been here a long time, too long, especially who are remembered for unfair reasons. For example, take the farmer over there, who drowned in a small river 200 years ago. Now his farm is the site of a small college, and the tour guides each week tell his story. So he's stuck, and he's miserable. The more his story is told, the more the details drift. He is utterly alienated from his name. It is no longer identical with him, but continues to bind. The cheerless woman across the way is praised as a saint, even though the roads in her heart were complicated. The gray-haired man at the vending machine was lionized as a war hero, then demonized as a warlord, and finally canonized as a necessary firebrand between two moments in history. He waits with aching heart for his statues to fall. And that is the curse of this room. Since we live in the heads of those who remember us, we lose control of our lives and become who they want us to be. When I heard that, and it was done by an actor who reads way better than I do, it just kind of, I thought about many things. It was quite thought-provoking. This book is very thought-provoking and made me think a lot about a lot of things. But the thing that struck me in that story was about our names. And in that story, it ends with other people controlling you because of your name, and that you lose yourself. And I think that's an important concept, especially in relation to today's gospel. So we have John 3:16, and I was standing then last Sunday, in the office, and there is John Martin in the office, and we were talking about something, and it just dawned on me, John 3:16. Well, there's John 3:16. Oh, what is John 3:16? Which we'll get to in a second. And that was the question, and I don't ever have sermon titles, but that was the sermon title that came up. What's your 3:16? And so what that question is asking, it's not like what's in your wallet, like Capital, you know, the Visa card, or what's the 411? Well, it is kind of like the 411, you know, information. But what is your 3:16? What is your story, your own personal story, about how you know that God loves the world? Because what does that verse say, that 3:16 verse? For God so loved the world. Louder, please. Have you turned? Right, right. God so loved the world. What does that mean for you? What's your story? So here's briefly a summary of my story. Because for me, it has to do with names. I'll do that first, then we'll get to John's story. So I kind of listed, here's why this is my story. Here's some scripture verses. Genesis 1:27, we're created in the image of God. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I set you apart. Psalm 139:13, you created my innermost being. You knit me together. Someone knitting right now? Yes. And that's awesome. Knitting is cool because that always reminds me about me being a creature of God. It's awesome. And I know knitters can multitask. If you can knit, you can multitask, because I've tried knitting, and that's not for everybody. Job 33:4, the Spirit of God made me and breathes light into me. And then our John's Gospel, those who receive Jesus, God's Word, chapter 1, verse 12, become children of God. And then we get to the Romans text. Led by the Spirit, we are children of God and adopted and heirs, co-heirs with Christ. And that adopted word is important. And I know God loves me because God has called me, whether it's been through Jesus in third grade, when I knew for the first time that God loved me through Jesus and this person who said, accept Jesus into your heart. As an 8-year-old boy, I understood that for the first time. I was feeling lonely. You know, my parents are divorced. Wow, what does it all mean? How does that work? But I knew God loved me through Jesus. And then since that moment, I've experienced through God's Spirit, my name being called, Eric, I love you. Eric, grace is for you regardless. You don't have to do anything. It's for you. And then I'm reminded that I'm a creature. I'm a penny among pennies. But it's so diverse and it's so wonderful to be with all of you as pennies. And so that's some of what I think about from my story. I know that God loves me because God has called my name. Unlike that story, I am a beloved child of God. My baptism helped me remember that. That's why we have this already, is to remind us we are beloved children of God. When Jesus came out of the water, this is my son, my beloved. When we come out of this water, we are children of God. Co-heirs with Christ. Adopted. I have an adoptive mother. I met my birth mother. I understand that double thing, how it works. I know where I'm created from, and I know what it means to have a parent who loves me. My father, Abba Father. That's another verse. It's a good story for me. So then as I was thinking, I just talking with a guy yesterday who I've gotten to know now since softball has happened and we've started doing softball here, and I think he's going to come to this church eventually. So, but I was talking about him, and we were talking about kind of what life is all about. And I said, for me, it's about joy. That's one of my three words: generous, attentive, and joy. Those are three words that guide me. And the joy, and this is an example of joy. Have you ever seen this? Make you this place your home. Settle down, let's all be clear. I don't know all the words, but it's okay because I like this song. Trouble is going to drag you down. Though still you will always be found. No, you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home. Now, it doesn't matter what you thought about that song, but I was liking that song a lot. And I don't know what you heard, but I heard some good stuff. And the point is not I'm an awesome singer, but it's joy. It's joy. That's what it's about. This story help me to think about what it's about. This book is awesome. I recommend it highly. I'm going to buy it, and I want to do a series on it where we read through and we. It's just good. It's good stuff. This guy's smart. He knows. He's provocative. So I think of music and I think of joy, and that's when I think of John. And so, John, I ask him, "What is your 3:16. And I was expecting a song, but he's going to say something. So anyway, John, please just give us your, just like you did with your announcement, your brief understanding of 3:16. Please, come on up. And again, this is about testimony, because that's what the Gospel of John is. What is your 3:16? It's your story. It's not, I wonder what the story should be. It's your story. So go ahead. And you can come to the microphone just so everybody can hear you. I know they can hear you, but just so everybody can hear you.
You so know I'm not a deep thinker.
That's all right.
This is... Can I do something instead of say something?
Yes.
Because I'm not really... And I'll lead to something.
All right.
Probably not going to be what you're hoping for, but it's ironic you're asking. It's ironic you're asking me to say something today. How do I know? What is it? How do I know that God is here?
God loves us.
How do I know God loves us?
God loves the world.
Obviously, music is my passion, but music. Wish you would have asked me this last week so I could have prepared something. Honest to goodness. Music gives me peace. So if on those days when I may have a bad day or a less than stellar day, and my family can certainly attest to this, I'll go home and I'll just sit down and play. Turn the lights down low. I don't need the sheet music in front of me because those black dots don't mean a thing to me anyway. And just play, and it gives me a sense of peace. So that's to me personally. But what it extends to in this setting is when the choir sang today, when the bell choir plays, and this sounds like a plug, but so be it. Or when the kids do their music, can you not help but just feel at peace and feel joy in that music? That's what I get from my what's the words here? My relationship, I guess, with God is that I know He's put that music in me and in these kids, all these kids I see here, and the music in every one of us to give us that joy and give us that peace. Just kind of make us feel good. Amen.
Nice. Thank you.
Is that what you wanted?
No, it's your story. That's exactly what I wanted, was your story. So you heard that story in the beginning, and you know, it makes you think, I told you my story. What is your story? What is your 3:16? We're singing this hymn of the day, Born and Cry, and in it says, I was there, I am there, I will be there. And I love my favorite line, I always say this when we're watching videos, it was my favorite video, but one of my favorite lines in this hymn is, I'll be there as I have always been with just one more surprise. That's my God. And I like that God because God knows me and knows that I like surprises. So let's stand and sing our hymn of the day.